Hi, this is John Barber from IDW Publishing. You are listening to the GeekCast Radio Network. Hi, this is John Barber from IDW Publishing. You are listening to The Pull Bag.
You've just jumped inside The Pull Bag. Join TFG1 Mike and the rest of the comic reading crew here at the GCRN as they make their great escape into comics. From DC, Marvel, IDW, Boom Studios, Zenoscope, and more, we have everything you want to read right here. Transformers comics? Yeah, we cover that. He-Man? Yeah, sure. DC superheroes like Batman, Batgirl, Nightwing, and Batman Beyond? Yep, we have those too. How about TMNT from IDW and I Hate Fairyland from Image Comics? Yeah, we have all that here. Plus, so much more. It's all inside the pullback here on the GeekCast Radio Network. So without any further ado, it's time to talk about the comics we are reading right now here inside the pullback.
Autovolley August continues here as we talk about Transformers, as always. This is episode 323 of The Pullback. I am TFG1 and Mike. Joining me is Ryan, the Uneven Flow Merkley. Hello, sir.
Yo.
And we're back at it with Transformers Optimus Prime and Lost Light Volume 2 for each, respectively. Continuing on with our IDW Transformers coverage. Quick note. Someone on Facebook had asked for podcast recommendations, and I half jokingly said, but what about geekcastradio.com? And they had mentioned something about the fact that, oh, but I want more than just nostalgia. We do more than just nostalgia, folks. I even mentioned the pullback, and then they're like, oh, but I want more than just IDW coverage. IDW is a great company, they have a great product, they have great licenses, just because this person isn't into the Transformers comics or the TMNT comics, I'm sorry. However, I pointed out to this person that the pullback has done far more than just IDW stuff. We've done Sex Criminals from Image Comics. We've done a lot of stuff from Image Comics. Sex Criminals, Hadrian's Wall, Cowl, Kennel Block Blues from Boom Studios, and
You and I have done Punisher. We've done Batman comics.
Yep.
The issue, my thing is, so the first of all, the IDW stuff, in particular Transformers, Lost Light, and More Than Meets the Eye, I put it up against any of the comics from Marvel or DC or Image. Yeah. It's really good, and Jason Aaron, who is one of my favorite writers, regularly tweets and gushes that James Roberts might be the best writer in comics right now. I mean, he's right up there with Tom King and some of the other ones.
Absolutely.
That have been doing a consistently great job. Brian K. Vaughan, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, so there's that. Two, I think the IDW stuff could use a spotlight. More people should talk about it and do podcasts. Three, how the fuck more do you need to talk about Batman? So, it's funny you mentioned the Facebook comment and everything else. Batman's quickly becoming one of the most boring characters to talk about. I love Tom King. His run on it is great. It's been really interesting. My problem is Batman as a character has become boring as hell lately. So here's Batman, and he's out there. You introduce, okay, here's the world's greatest assassin. Batman beats them. Okay, well, here's Kane, the world's greatest ninja. Batman kicks his ass, too, for some reason, even though the other person's supposed to be the world's greatest whatever. Batman just beats everybody, and it's annoying at this point. And Kane concentrates on other things, but so many writers don't. Mm-hmm. There's so much bad Batman stuff.
Okay, so right now, and I've said this before, I'm barely, like, right now I have one Marvel title that I'm reading, the new Tony Stark Iron Man that Dan Slott's doing, because Dan Slott is now on that instead of being Spider-Man. When it comes to DC right now, I'm trying to read the Nightwing Rebirth series. I'm not fully through it. I do have the first volume of Tom King's series, but my main go-to for DC right now is either their He-Man and crossover things. I haven't read He-Man and Injustice yet, but it's that and the Batman Beyond Rebirth series. Those are my DC titles at this point. I have not...
Well, those are just nostalgia, though.
No, they're not.
Yeah?
No, they're not. They're all new stories. So, my friend on Facebook, that after I had made the initial comment, but, what about geekcastradio.com, he said that I'm not in a headspace where I want nostalgia. I want adult conversations that come with interesting opinions, insight, and education. I like nostalgia. That's why I listen to something to wrestle with Bruce Prichard. How is talking about Transformers comics not, like, people need to understand that the Transformers comics from IDW... they're not nostalgia. Yes, IDW reprints the old Marvel stuff, but these are all new, interesting stories.
Not like, to mention, few of the characters bear any resemblance to the Generation 1 characters. Right. I mean, maybe physically, but for example, we'll be talking about Skids, who died, you know, a trade ago, but Skids, for example, bears absolutely no resemblance to his Generation 1 character, who, by the way, basically had no character, unless you count the getting molested by Carly issue in the Marvel US comics, which was a little weird, but the anyway, but no, it's very different storytelling, not to mention all the LGBT themes and a lot of the other stuff that, you know, the More Than Meets the Eye series before 50, I can't remember the exact number, but anyway, had a pair of issues dedicated to a very mature discussion on mental health involving the deteriorating health of Grimlock at the time.
Right.
And the Scavenger is essentially trying to kind of take advantage of him and pointing out how wrong that is.
Exactly.
And so there's a ton of stuff like that. There's a lot of real world politics in Lost Light, particularly in the next trade. But...
yes. As soon as I saw that one line...
Or sorry, I meant in the previous trade. Sorry, the Functionalist Universe had significant references to fascism and not to mention Brexit, which Roberts, of course, being British, is very familiar with. So, Right. Yeah, it's not just based on it. And to be fair, I think any comics, if your criteria is... long running or something that existed a long time ago, all comics are nostalgia. That every single one of them. Batman's older than the Transformers.
That's right. 80 years next year. I also want to state that even though Transformers, TMNT, to a lesser extent, the Gem comics from IDW, the Back to the Future run we did, even though TMNT and Transformers are the two big mainstays for the podcast, for the 5 years we've been online, we've also done a bunch of other stuff. As I mentioned, stuff from Image, stuff from Boom. The Boom Studio stuff is continuing because next month you and I are going to do Lunatic Fringe, WWE Volume 2. It has been almost a full year since Joe Reed and I did a TMNT episode. So there hasn't been a TMNT episode on the Pullback since almost last September. We're going to be doing a first five issue thing. Comixology was running a sale at one point, or a promotion where you could get five, creator owned Brian Michael Bendis titles, for free. So we're going to be doing that. I'll say this for DC, they sure do interesting things at certain times, because we're going to finally get around to doing their Kentucky Fried Chicken comics, and no, I'm not kidding.
So, more nostalgia.
Not when, you know, Green Lantern has to go up against the Colonel. That's not really nostalgia.
That's nostalgia for the colonel is obviously a representation of owning slaves, and so, oh, sorry.
Wow. Okay, then. All right, so today, in the penultimate episode of Autobotly August 2018, as I said, Optimus Prime and Lost Light, Volume 2 for each. Optimus Prime...
So speaking of nostalgia, so let me just say what we were talking about before, and that is Optimus Prime Volume 2 works really well. It works really well because I know what happens up to issue 23. The issue here is that the majority of this trade is set up for things to come. It's retconning stuff that previously had been shown and kind of merging everything together.
Right.
So having read that forward stuff, having read the future stuff, rereading this, everything kind of clicks into place. But when you're reading this on its own, i.e. when I picked it up or when I read the issues individually, it's not great. Every one of these issues contains significant numbers of flashbacks and past stories.
Yeah.
And of the group of them, we continue on with Jetfires, which, I'm not going to lie, it's nice to get some backstory for Jetfire and have him be more, hey, here's another character, by the way, bears very little resemblance to his Generation 1 version, but it's nice to give him more backstory than just being a generic scientist. However, again, they're fairly intrusive. They have a lot less to do with future events than the flashbacks of Pyra Magna and Optimus Prime.
Yeah.
Particularly Pyra's. All the Onyx Prime stuff is exceptionally important very soon. And then, by the way, the final issue of this trade, I'm just going to skip ahead now, is Alpha Trion telling another story from the past. And again, this would have been better served being part of the trade, which is the next one, which will unveil Onyx Prime and everybody else. As it sits at the end of this trade, out of context, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
And in its defense, Lost Light suffers from this with the first issue of its trade as well.
Right.
It's an issue of the comic that should have been in the previous trade.
Yeah.
This is an issue of the comic that should have been the next one.
Yeah.
So lastly, I ask, how the hell do I evaluate this as a whole? Because these are good issues telling a really good story, but it's a story that doesn't snap into place until another trade or two after this. And it doesn't work well on its own. And the other problem I have is the second last issue of this is an absolute masterpiece and one of the best individual issues of a Transformers comic I think I've ever read.
Mm.
That's The Life of Sideswipe. And it is Sideswipe's... They try to give Sideswipe a good send-off, we'll say. Sideswipe was mortally wounded way back... way back in the Transformers, in the run-up from was it before 50? I don't even remember anymore.
I don't remember.
So,
we just went through all that stuff last year, and I don't even remember at this point.
Well, it's been a year. I can't remember I read a lot of comics.
I know.
I gotta post pictures in my trade room down that it's done. I have a room, and it is just trades. It is just bookshelves of trades. And by the way, every bookshelf has Transformers on top of it.
Of course. What I love about Optimus Prime Volume 2, I love the Jazz story.
Yes,
I love finally getting the, not necessarily comeuppance, but like the whole thing with Jazz. I love that. I love the Bumblebee stuff. I love the Sideswipe stuff. I think it's probably the most...
it's the most character I can remember Sideswipe ever getting.
Yes, exactly. And it's also the most, quote-unquote, humanizing RC has ever been, I think.
And it doesn't feel out of character?
No, at least the IDW RC, not RC.
Yeah,
overall.
IDW RC bears little to no resemblance to Generation RC. 1 RC. You nostalgic piece of sorry.
Stop.
But, but no, I loved all that. Can't talk about the Transformers comics without bringing up the artwork is phenomenal again. Mm-hmm. And we have a number of different artists on it. There's Kay Zama, who's, she's good. Her work on the Sideswipe issue is some of my favorites. Some of my favorite stuff she's done. And then we just get a ton of other people. Casey Collar did an issue. We have Priscilla Tramontano. There we go. And then, of course, we have Olivio Ramondelli returns to do an excellent job on Alpha Trion's story from the past. Yes. I love his work on this. It's some of his best work. And he's another guy like all of the IDW artists, really, who has improved over time.
Mm-hmm. So, Priscilla did the number 7 and the annual.
And the annual,
Casey did number 8. Kay Zama did number 9 and 10. And Livio did number 10. Obviously, he's in the past part. But,
yeah.
And then Priscilla, John Paul Beauvais, Josh Burcham, Livio, Thomas Deere, and Josh Perez on colors for all of the various things. Tommy Long and Chris Mowry on letters as well.
Yep.
It's the story that perplexes me here with this trade, with the Optimus Prime series at this point, because I feel so out of it at times.
So you haven't read ahead, so people know, by the way. But I have. I've been reading the individual issues. I started reading them around the end of this trade, I think.
Okay. What I did was Comixology was having an IDW End of the Universe sale up until July 30th of this year. It was actually their longest IDW Transformers sale that I can remember on Comixology. It was like at least 2.5 months worth of sales of the same sale going through. So I went through and I got Lost Light Volumes 1 and 2. I got Optimus Prime Volumes 1 and 2. For doing these specific podcasts, I had not read either title. I'm catching up. I'm reading it for the first time now. The only thing I'm doing currently in conjunction with reading these trades is I'm reading the 6-issue Unicron series. So that's the only current thing I'm reading for Transformers right now.
Yeah, so you potentially know some of why things
are
the way they are here, but definitely not all, because a lot of it's in the later stuff of Optimus Prime, which is running right now.
Yep.
So yeah, this is I can't say anything bad about Robert's stuff because he's a brilliant writer. Barber's stuff. Well, I hate saying anything bad about Robert's too, but no, I hate saying anything bad about Barber. No, you're right. Sorry. And his stuff clicks together so well. It is a great story overall, but the sum of its parts is better than those individual ones.
There are too many working parts here for me. Like I said, the jazz part I got, because we've been dealing with this whole jazz thing that he killed a cop on Earth years and years and years ago, and this is why Earth hates the Transformers, and blah, 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 amongst other things. I love that. I love that we finally get, because the universe is ending, we finally get an answer or a great story to send Sideswipe off. I thought that was great. But the lead up, the Pyra Magna story, not her flashback, but just her being here, all of that, I am just so lost. I mean, I understood the story, but when I was first reading it, I'm like, okay, so that happened, and that happened. Oh, hey, look, there's Shockwave. Yay.
Maybe he's there in another form. Oh, anyway.
Yeah. Maybe they're going to call him Long Arm Prime or something.
Well, you're not far. Anyway, so. All right, anyway.
So, Onyx Prime returns. Okay.
Yes, Onyx Prime.
And he's the big bad of this trade for the most part.
Well, not really, since he's only really mentioned, but he only appears via flashback, and we get his backstory, and why all of this suddenly happens, we understand much later on.
Right.
But for now...
I think the Sideswipe issue, yeah, this is the most characterization we've ever gotten for Sideswipe and Sunstreaker. Like, Sideswipe even points out Sunstreaker is just, you know, Sunstreaker is essentially the G1 version of Decepticon Knockout. You know, don't tarnish my finish, you know, that kind of thing. That's what I remember Sunstreaker being like.
Anyway, I was just gonna say that Sunstreaker got a lot of characterization much earlier.
Oh, okay.
Remember, he was one of the stars in the Shun series, becoming the first headmaster. And then he was a big part of All Hail Megatron, being revealed as one of the Autobot traitors. This is making my head hurt. And then his semi-redemption arc during the Costa years. He's had a decent amount of focus over the years. It hasn't been great focus.
Yeah, no. I haven't even read any of the stuff that you've been saying here. So
yeah, I don't recommend reading it either. So
that's why I said this is the best
characterization. So I feel terrible, but go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was gonna flat out just give the rating at this point because I have
very
little interest in. Okay, so I feel real bad, but it's gonna. If I was gonna rate Optimus Prime, as in the series as a whole, it at this point, unless they absolutely don't stick the landing, it's a 4.5 to a 5 out of 5.
Yeah.
But this book as an individual trade, which is how I'm going to end up scoring it, is going to... I'm just going to give it a 2.5. And that's almost exclusively on the strength of Sideswipe. The other issues just don't do it for me. The flashback sequences, again, just don't seem to meld with the tone of the current ones. I realize what he's trying to say with regards to the post-war Transformers, not to mention with the transformation going on Earth, but I don't feel like it flowed the way he had wanted it to.
Right. I liked the sides. Like I said, there's four things: Jazz, Bumblebee, Sideswipe, and Alpha Trion. Specifically, the Alpha Trion, Livio stuff. Love that. I think the best comedy moment in this trade is at the end where they're like, "The Earth representative is the dog," and then obviously Marissa comes in and. So, there's that.
That is one of the best panels of this.
Yes, it is.
I thought it was funny, so.
Yep.
It's tough, and this is, to me, this is the equivalent of what if I took a middle of third season episode of Breaking Bad and decided to essentially evaluate the entire series based on that. It doesn't really work because it's just a part of the story and it's not meant to be the story. So, yeah, reviewing this sucks. I don't know what to say. If I was reviewing it based on the rest of the series, I'd give it a 4 or so. But again, as an individual series of issues... I was only a big fan of a couple of them, and I'm only a fan of sort of half of the story told in the annual as well. So, yeah.
So we head out to deep space with Lost Light volume. If I was giving, sorry, I'm losing my mind here.
Yeah, you didn't even give a score. It's your right? show. You're supposed to know.
I know, right? Well, it's. I still do not like the flashback and the purpose of its different artists between the current and the flashback, but constantly having a flashback still.
I don't find it confusing where it begins or ends, and a lot of that I like that they changed the artists.
Yeah, that's great that they changed the artists. I still don't like jumping time from current to past, current to past, current to past. I don't like that. Like, other than that, 3.5 maybe. That's the best I can give it. It's probably not the worst I could give it, but. There are the moments, like I just said, with Jazz, with Bumblebee, with Sideswipe, with Buster, with Alpha Trion, especially Livio. Like, Livio needs to get his own, like, his own series nowadays. Like, I know he did the whole thing with Flint Dilly and all that, with the ones we covered last year with the Autocracy trilogy, but, I want Livio to have his own stuff nowadays, too. Okay, so Lost Light, Volume 2, obviously written by James Roberts. Art, we have lots of artists in here as well. Jack Lawrence is on main art for 7 and 10 through 12. Priscilla is on art for 8 to 9. Additional art by Alex on 11 and Andrew Griffith on 12. Colors by Joanna. Additional colors by Priscilla and John Paul LaVey. Letters by Tommy Long. Story consultant Rachel Stevens, 8 and 9. Why did they need a story consultant on this?
That's a great question. I have no idea. That's a good...
Yeah.
So they had a consultant on the two episodes on Troja Major. And getting into it, so the first one is sort of the denouement to the previous trade, which I've said a few times, it should have probably just been included in the last trade. That would have made more sense, but
yeah.
All right. So first of all, I can sum up this trade by saying, fuck you for toying with my emotions, James Roberts. I love you, don't ever change. But... So we open with the denouement of the functionalist universe and that trip for our main characters. We have the fallout from that. We have the fallout from Cyclonus's damage and world telling Tailgate why it was happening. We have the horrifying last few panels where... noted piece of crap Fangry, who last time I remember Fangry being featured, he gets beat up by Grimlock in Marvel US near the end of that series to sort of kick off Autobot Decepticon relations going south again.
Right.
So it's interesting that he gets featured again here. He was in the earlier stuff of Lost Light as well, which is this is him getting his revenge on Tailgate, burying him for 6 million years.
Yep.
Seems a little excessive.
Yeah, very excessive. And speaking of Breaking Bad.
That is a real... Yeah. No, goddamn phone. I swear it only goes off when I podcast. Nobody cares about me any other time. Well, to be fair, nobody cares about me now. But
oh, stop it.
They just randomly text me. Stop it. Then we skip to a two-parter on Troja Major, which is more fallout from... This time it's back from More Than Meets the Eye.
Yeah, before we get to Troja Major, I have to say, issue 7, you are completely correct. This should have... Like, if this had ended the first trade, we would have recorded this episode, like, right after that one. Because ending on Tailgate being buried alive for 6 million years, holy shit. I have to say, though, the whole Cyclonus Tailgate thing was great. Rodimus. Rodimus is easily the best leader. I love this guy.
Well, he's improving as a leader. He ends up being a fairly good one in the whatever. I'm skipping ahead. Why am I doing that?
I mean, just his one line.
I like how he knows to motivate Magnus, and he's motivating Magnus because Magnus legitimately believed Megatron was turning good, mm-hmm. or trying to be a better person at least. Yeah. And we know that he's not wrong about him.
Right.
That Megatron was tricked into staying there. But obviously our characters don't, so
There's one panel in here. It's actually my current... I just switched up my Facebook profile picture for this because I just absolutely love Rodimus, where he's like, okay, if you can't hear me, you better find someone who did hear me because we're leaving in 5 minutes. It's like, I just love that. I love the Magnus stuff. I love the Cyclonus and Tailgate stuff in this issue. It's, as someone who had read all of this, like, More Than Meets the Eye, Lost Light, like, I'm reading Lost Light now, but going through all of More Than Meets the Eye, and we're now finally getting answers that we so richly deserve.
Yeah, which brings me to the Troja Major stuff, which is an awful lot of the overall story regarding the Grand Architect and that insignia we've been seeing throughout More Than Meets the Eye up into Lost Light. And the basis of the story, though, is around Nonica, A, being angry at her friend Velocity over Skid's death, and B, her sadness over Skid's death and wanting to bring him back. And Roberts just loves twisting the knife. And Anode and Lug, it should be mentioned, by the way, I finally started to like Anode here and Lug. I found them not annoying and much better, deeper characters through this. But they also get through a lot of the backstory I mentioned. But again, it's around the plot of wanting to resurrect Skids. And in true Roberts fashion, it ends horribly. I mean, in the end, they erase Nonica's feelings for Skids. She doesn't even care that he's dead or anything. She's just kind of... She hasn't forgotten him, but she doesn't remember the fact she loved him. Even as a close friend or whatever they were, but that's brutal. And it should be noted, too, I howled with joy at the final panel of this book because, A, the Magnificence has been missing since the Shun series way back at the start of IDW.
Yeah.
And, B, so has the character holding it. Old Scorpy's been gone for a long time, and it was nice to see him remembered and brought back. So that made me ecstatic. And the rest of this trade are the three issues which show us what the crew of the Lost Light, the titular ship, led by Captain Getaway, has been up to with our heroes away. And Jesus Christ, James, like, what is wrong with you? Who hurt you as a child, James?
Why would you do this to us? Like, seriously.
We get wanton slaughter of most of the Lost Light crew. Like, it's brutal.
Yeah, it's very brutal. I understand Getaway's thing of Megatron is evil, Megatron's at the set. Like, I get that part of it. But if you look at what Megatron has done since his trial... And joining a lot, like, he's become a lot less Decepticon-like.
I mean, yeah, but we know that as the readers.
Right.
Because we get to see his motivations. We get to see Skids taking him to task for wanting to leave a planet. We get to see him change. Getaway and a lot of the other crew here didn't. And I don't think that Getaway was wrong originally. I don't want to call it an issue because it still sort of makes sense. But afterwards, he has become very much the sort of mustache-twirling villain who he wants to be. He wants to be recognized, and he wants to be remembered. And there's nothing wrong with that. The problem is he'll go to any length for it. And right. he literally sacrifices a significant amount of the crew to meet those goals.
Yeah, like, Getaway is... Was it... Wait. Is he originally an Autobot or a Decepticon? I don't remember off the top of my head.
I'll get... Getaway's originally an Autobot. He always okay. was.
He's, yeah, he, that's fine. I, yeah, now that I see the Autobot symbol on his chest, I just.
And he's an MTO. He was a made to order during the war.
Okay.
And his ability, so he's an outlier, although it doesn't come up a lot.
Right.
And his ability is that he's able to kind of. He's got a silver tongue. He can talk his way into and out of anything.
Right.
And we see an awful lot of that because the things he does are horrible, but he's able to convince other people. But he's also able to convince himself. And it's what makes him a little deeper than just sort of a mustache-twirling villain. I also like that, again, I agree with his initial... I mean, I agree with his initial... treatment of Megatron because he's not wrong. I don't agree because it's not what I would have done. And because I, as a reader, know he's better than what they were pitching him as or what they believed him to be.
Right.
But I understand where he's coming from. It's just beyond that. He just goes way over the edge and... Oof, there's a lot of death in these issues, and...
Yeah, you said earlier about James and screwing with all of our emotions and everything else. I had to actually double-check where I was in this trade because of the fucking time loop. I'm like, wait, didn't I just read this already?
Yeah.
I was like, what the... Oh, God.
Which I really liked. That was well done.
Oh, yeah, it was well done, but as I was reading it, I'm like, wait a minute, didn't this already happen? What the hell?
Which is the idea, and it's terrible that, that's what they do. Don't worry, though, because the Protectobots don't stay in one. You know, one of them gets murdered, and then everybody, Defensor gets taken out, and we had the return of Star Saber too, so this whole trade is a lot of the long running plots coming back to fruition.
And that's a great thing.
Yeah, they mentioned that Star Saber is lured back because of his hatred of Cyclonus, who bested him and took out one of his eyes. Not to mention we have Ambulon, who was sawed in half way back in the fifth trade of More Than Meets the Eye, and we knew he turned into a leg. I was sure at some point it was going to come up again, and I wasn't wrong for once.
Yep.
Because it comes up here, we get the payoff of Riptide being stupid.
Yeah.
He's too stupid to have a nudge gun / memory gun used on him. Which was an interesting way to... It seems almost kind of mean, but...
So, obviously, Getaway has kicked off Rodimus and Megatron and everybody. Rodimus gets a message back to them.
Yep.
He's like, this is Rodimus, and I am incredibly pissed off. By the time... Like, this was a pre-recorded message. This isn't him live on the thing, right? Because he's in his classic colors here. He's not in the purple colors that he's been in.
So the first issue after the time loop is Rodimus and the message he sent in 50 of More Than Meets the Eye. It is live.
Okay.
It's when he discovers Getaway and everybody have mutinied. There is, however...
It's basically before he does the colored... Okay, I got it again.
The next message he sends, the one about wanting to be melted down. Right. And by the way, it's a nice reference to Death's Head. Anyway, that message is when all of the Autobots record their final message when they know the DJD is coming.
Before the Necrobot saves them.
And they expect to all be killed. Well, the Necrobot didn't save them. He gets killed by the DJD. They save themselves. Actually, well, technically it's Skids that saves them, because, of course, he dies, giving them the extra power temporarily, which keeps them alive for a bit. And then Megatron took the battlefield, and, well, he's Megatron, so...
Yeah.
He's a very angry Transformer.
Have we ever, like... Okay, so they always talk about the oil reservoir on the Lost Light, like people have gone down there and this, that, and the other thing.
You're going to ask if we've seen it?
Yeah, because I don't remember that. Now, the only reason I would remember this specific thing if...
Chrome Dome looks into Skid's memories originally and tells Skids that he won't tell him what they are. Okay. For fear of what Skids would do in the oil reservoir. That's where that scene takes place.
Okay, right.
It was also used where Red Alert killed himself, or tried to kill himself there.
Right, I remember that. But what I'm saying is, up until right now, at this moment, when I'm going to say what I'm going to say in about 2 seconds, have they ever actually stated that these things are in the reservoir?
No, because they're added. It's a reference to...
To Transformers Prime.
No,
because they're scraplets. They're red scraplets. The more they eat, the more they reproduce.
So first of all, scraplets are from the Marvel US Generation 1 series.
Oh, okay.
The comic series. Second of all, one issue that so far has not been reprinted is the Lost Light Annual. And it contains Whirl raising a group of scraplets. These are the ones placed in the reservoir.
Okay. I thought the annual was in here.
Nope.
No, it's not.
It is not.
Huh. They had the Optimus Prime annual in the other. Are they going to put the annual in the next trip? I don't know.
They better, since it becomes fairly important later on.
You think, yeah.
So I would assume so. But yes, at this point, it is not important. However, yes, the Getaway put scraplets in there to eat Riptide, which they fail to do.
Yeah. Because Riptide is just too stupid to be eaten by scraplets, apparently.
Well, he's too stupid to forget how to transform when... The memory gun is used on him, / nudge gun, is what it's called. Yeah. But anyway. Yeah, so this trade and these series of issues end with A, the slaughter of a whole shitload of the crew, but B, they find Getaway discovers Cyber Utopia, which is what Rodimus and co. have been looking for this entire time.
Right.
So Getaway, best captain, because he actually made it to the end.
Yep.
Sure, most of the crew is dead, but, you know, he did pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
This is a happy ending. Don't worry, this all goes really well in the next in the next few issues. Everything's happy, nothing bad happens to anybody else.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, James Roberts certainly does not make me feel sad or anything again. Ever.
He's lying, folks, in case you're wondering.
So series is really good. And
it is. It is very good, yes.
More Than Meets the Eye, when it started, tells a very segmented from the rest of the Transformers universe story.
Right.
And I really like it. I like how a lot of the stuff from the past, individual lines, that sort of thing, are important and used much later on.
Yep.
I like the change of... So one thing I don't think we mentioned... We certainly mentioned the artist change. So Alex Milne did an awful lot of More Than Meets the Eye. And he is excellent. One of the best Transformers artists of all time. He's responsible for a lot of the redesigns, which would eventually become figures, because the IDW designs were so nice. And just, he always did a great job. And then we changed to Jack Lawrence for Lost Light. His art has a different feel, and the book has a different feel. And unlike a lot of people, I don't necessarily, I don't see the big difference between one and the other. I know there is a switch in tone to a certain extent.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. I don't mind that sort of the world-hopping, giant-encompassing story switched, and now those are in Optimus Prime, and Lost Light has become the sort of individual character study.
Yeah.
Which I'm okay with
excellent.
That.
Yeah, I am so okay with that.
Yeah, I don't mind that they've swapped them, so.
Yeah. Because Optimus Prime has to deal with the Council of Worlds and Cybertron and all these now dead worlds because of where we are currently. But like,
well, I was going to say, yeah, to be blunt, Barber's kind of got a really tough job because he's got to deal with Unicron. He's got to wrap all of this stuff up. He's got to wrap up the entire universe before Unicron gets there.
Yep.
And I'm not trying to take anything away from Roberts, but he has his own story that he had decided on an end 5 or 6 years ago.
Yep.
He already knew how this was going to turn out. So exactly. All he has to do is get to that point. And I say that like it's easy. It's definitely not.
It's not easy, but...
But I think, but I don't envy what Barber's got to do, which is why I hate kind of, you know, bashing or crapping on any of his stuff, because he's done just an amazing job on it.
Yeah.
And I'm getting way off topic, but I'm, yeah, just gushing.
Well, you know, we're now talking about both, and that's fine. We're still talking Transformers. It's not like we went into, James Roberts is now going to write Breaking Bad comics.
Oh, God, that'd be amazing. Oh,
I know, right?
Except everybody's dead, so... well, actually, he'd be good at that, then. So, Until All Are One is super character-driven. I don't think it's a coincidence that, in my opinion, my two favorite books that were running during this time were Till All Are One and Lost Light / More Than Meets the Eye.
Yeah.
Because... One of the reasons Transformers has survived this long is because the characters are interesting and there's an awful lot you can do with them. And a lot of them, to be blunt, are a blank slate because we didn't get characterization from them in Generation 1. Skids appeared in what? One episode of the cartoons? No, sorry.
I don't even remember him.
He appeared in three episodes of the... G1 series, if I remember right. But he gets next to no characterization or an awful lot. So he had so you get a scenario where Roberts could just do whatever he wanted with the guy. And he does a great job with it and tries to incorporate some of the tech specs and that kind of thing. But really, it's a new take.
Yeah.
And it just... His character work is brilliant. So is Barber's, but Barber has an overall plot to get through that's very convoluted, and he's got to do a lot of world building, that kind of thing. Whereas Scott and Roberts had the opportunity to look at individual characters and ask themselves, how would this character deal with blank? And a lot of the best shows come out of that. Vince... You know I love referencing Breaking Bad. Mm-hmm. Screw it. Hey, let's reference The Shield, which you love, too.
Absolutely.
But one of the great things about The Shield is that's what it was. It was, okay, how would character X, Dutch, Vic, Aceveda, whoever, react to this happening?
Right.
And that's how you tell a lot of the best character stories, is trying to logically figure out how somebody would react to whatever event it is. And I don't think it's a coincidence that those have made some of the best Transformer comics ever.
Yep. Like, it's hard for me to read some of the other stuff. Like, we've only covered one volume of the Marvel U.S. run that IDW had reprinted. And it was like Steve and I had done that episode a couple of years ago, and I had a really hard time. I'm not good with old comics. I'm just not. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it was the color schemes that they had to use back then, because look at it this way. Art, colors, inks, all of that in, let's just use Batman for example, 80 years have come a hell of a lot of a long way than black, blue, red, and white, yellow, and green.
But I feel like even if, so I own all the Marvel US and the UK stuff, and the UK stuff, which a lot of people consider the best Transformers storytelling, TV, movies, comics aside, the UK stuff is really good when it's on. But it's not on as much as the IDW stuff has been on. The issue is, for every Time Wars in the UK series, is there are three or four stories that quite honestly are forgettable. And Furman deserves an awful lot of credit for taking these characters who had maybe one or two lines in a tech spec and trying to do things with them and make them interesting. But a lot of the characterization, because the cast is so large, lacks depth.
Right.
And it's weird for me to say that, because the cast in these books is still friggin' huge, but it feels like almost everybody is three-dimensional, or at worst, two-dimensional getaway. And it's just better. I mean, there's not another way to put it. And I've said it before, I say it again, I know he doesn't appear in these series, but the character, well, he sort of doesn't appear. The characterization that Megatron's been given over the past 50 issues, well, 25, in More Than Meets the Eye, that's my favorite version of Megatron. And that includes the excellent Beast Wars version, which I adore. I know it's not the same character, by the way, but
He
shares the same namesake.
Descendant, whatever.
Yeah, he, by the way, is a close number two, because he's fantastic. But the Megatron the Autobot story was just so interesting and added so much nuance to a guy we thought is just an angry despot.
Yeah.
And that's what these comics do, and when they're on, that's what they excel at. The end. Five out of five for Lost Light, with a giant middle finger for murdering so many characters.
Yeah, absolutely 5 out of 5 for Lost Light. I absolutely loved it. Like, see, this is what I was trying to say, you know, back when we were doing the stuff for More Than Meets the Eye last year. I can read this stuff in trade and get it and, you know, not have an issue, but that whole thing of having to read single issue month to month and having to, like, no, it's that instant gratification thing. I want to read it all right now, kind of a thing. And yeah.
I think the one thing that Roberts really excels at more than a lot of writers in comics, and you could argue television has this issue too, there's a lot of shock death in these books, but you genuinely care for at least some of it.
Yep.
Atomizer was a piece of crap who did some awful things to Tailgate, and he went along with an awful lot of Getaway's horrible plans.
Right.
But seeing him dismembered and murdered is pretty bad. And
I mean, that's almost like seeing a Transformers character cut in half lengthways.
Yeah, well, like, that was poor Amazon. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this was just brutal.
Yeah, and it's shocking, but alternatively, you feel something, and a lot of it is about the absolute depth that Getaway is hit. Right. Sorry, when I say depth, I mean how depraved and awful he is.
Yes. But,
yeah, we see the awful things that happen to First Aid and his group. Thunderclash gets put into a coma.
Yeah. I just love how they were able to bring back the Protectobots and Defensor. I thought that was cool. Like, I never expected a combiner to be on Rodimus and Bruce's ship.
Yeah, although they don't last real long.
No, they don't. They don't have, like... Are you expecting the Protectobots to be a full-on...
No, I was curious if they were going to return. Because they and everybody left to take part in Combiner Wars. Because they needed them there. Mm-hmm. So Hasbro could sell toys and... anyway. curse you, editorial.
Yes.
Mandates. Yes. Still, this is terrific, and...
Absolutely.
If a comic, game, or piece of media can make me actually feel something without me feeling like it was just an attempt to manipulate or an attempt to shock, that is very good.
Yes.
Absolutely. So thanks for making me feel bad, James.
He broke bad on you. Last Light, Volume 2, absolutely love it. Continue to love that series. I'm so happy that they are allowing James to wrap up his story, and I cannot wait to see where he goes next, whatever he
Oh, well, actually, doing. So in the next issue... Oh, sorry. Oh, you meant that.
Once Unicron destroys everything. Yeah, so I think we're going to close out this episode of The Pullbag. Where can the people find you online, sir?
At Nightbeat on Twitter.
I'm at TFG and Mike on Twitter. You can follow at The Pullbag and at Geekcast Radio on Twitter as well. Check us out, geekcastradio.com. We have tons of current podcasts as well as a lot of nostalgia, too. Make your great escape into comics, and we will catch you next time as we wrap up Autobotly August 2018 with myself and the Fembots as we cover Transformers Till All Are One, Volume 3.
You've just heard the latest episode of The Pullbag, the GCRN's first comic review and discussion podcast. There are several ways to get in touch with us and leave feedback for the show. You can visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on the episode and all of our different podcasts. You can rate and leave a review for the show on iTunes. Be sure to leave us feedback. Become a fan of us on Facebook, facebook.com/thepullbag. Send us an email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Follow us on Twitter @thepullbag and @geekcastradio. So until next time, make your great escape into comics and unleash the geek in you.